Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, but today we've got two witnesses. Brother Gene Wiseman is here, and he is definitely a witness all of his long lifetime of the glory of the Lord. Brother Wiseman, you were brought up in little different circles maybe than what we say, the Word of Faith circles.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could say a little different. But believing in the same God,
same
and hungry
God,
for the same.
Same hunger. And you have seen the move of the Spirit of God in your lifetime, right?
I have.
You've seen the gifts of the Spirit operate?
Oh, yes. You know, a lot of times in my prayer time, a lot of my prayer time, I guess, is praise time.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught to thank the Lord for those that have been an inspiration in your life.
Oh, I do that all the time. I guess I'm led by the Lord.
Well, I'm glad to hear somebody else does it.
I start with my mother, and then I go through all my early Sunday school teachers, right on up to today.
Well, I start with my mother, but then next is my grandparents.
Uh-huh.
And my mom, she never ministered from a pulpit, but I tell people she is one of the greatest preachers I ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
in what way, brother?
The life she lived.
The life she lived.
And the... I've seen her stand firm in faith, and actually, even though I grew up in the Pentecostal realm, the Spirit move, my mom was very strong in faith.
Well, of course they were. This faith isn't something new. That's there from
all.
The Word of God, the days of Jesus.
Absolutely. And
Abraham.
And I hope this doesn't shock any listener, but prosperity is not new.
No, it's not.
And, I mean, you get to reading some of those stories about the people that really held on to God. And I'm really thankful to have been brought up in the... Now, it was different with my dad. My dad was not a believer, but
really?
No, but before he left this world, I did get to see him laying on his bed, looked up at me, and he said, "Let's pray."
Oh, praise the Lord. That's your mother's prayers.
Oh, absolutely. But it's good to be here.
Thank you, Brother Wiseman.
With you, folks.
Did you have a message when you came to us today?
I did.
What is it?
Yes. Actually, it's on what we were just touching on.
Yeah, I thought
The Spirit and the Word. There's such a need, and we're seeing it. We're seeing this come together, the Spirit and the Word. And, you know, I believe this Spirit and Word coming together is going to birth. You remember John G. I'm sure you would know about this. You probably had this information before I. But when he gave that prophecy about the move that he could see coming.
Oh, you're talking about Wigglesworth.
Yes, but I believe John G. Lake.
And also John G. Lake. Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, that's right.
Said it would be a different move. It would be the same Holy Ghost, but a different manifestation.
Yes, yes.
Manifestation of love. And I believe this Spirit and Word coming together is going to, that's going to be what's going to birth this great move of God's love that never, you know,
I
love
do
never
too.
Failed.
I do, too.
And, but.
So you're saying you think that great move that we're looking for, that great awakening, is primarily a love move, the love of God manifest?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know coming up with the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, I had shared this earlier, but how that I did not come up under... So much, we'll call it, for communication purposes, the Word of Faith movement. But I am thankful that the group of people that I grew up around were open. I remember the minister that I came up under, he used to tell us, he would say, "Now, I'm from the old school." And he would name a few things, you know, that the old school really taught. He said, and he would tell some of us that he was working with, that we were growing up under his ministry, you'd say. He'd tell us, he'd say, "Now, I'm from the old school." But he said, "This next move," he would tell us, he'd say, "I won't move into this next move."
Mm.
He said, "I'm kind of like a Moses." He said, "I'm seeing it." I'm standing on the mountain looking in a distance, seeing it. But he told us, he would point his finger at his, just at the tip of his toes. He'd say, the grave is right there for me. He said, but you here. He said, there's some of you here. You will go on into this move.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I won't move into it, but I'm here to tell you that it's real. It exists. And he said, and he'd reiterate, he'd say, I'm from the old school, but you go on in to this move.
Mm.
I love that man. I had great respect for him, but I still say this. I don't want to. I'm going to use the word die. I don't want to die where he died.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go on in, and I'm in pursuit of what God has.
Yes, and you came down. I was preaching in Concord, Kentucky.
North Carolina. Yes.
And I was preaching on how to walk in love. And I've got an article on that in the current Believer's Voice of Victory, the how-tos of it, 1, 2, 3, the steps of it that I learned from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. And it's also going to be on one of our programs that's coming up really soon in September on the Believer's Voice of Victory with Gloria. But it was Brother Hagin taught us how you can walk in love. People say walk in love, but how do you do it? Number one, you have to be born again because it's the love of God. And it's, you have to know Romans 5:5 because it's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's there. You don't have to get it. It's there when you're born again. But you have to learn to release it. You have to learn to let your spirit dominate your flesh. And so to walk in love, he said, now it is described for you in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And he then used the Amplified Bible. And he said, now one of these points will be more difficult for you than the others. Well, when he got to mine, love does not notice a suffered wrong. It keeps no record, no account of the evil done to it. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Well, that was my point. And so he said, you just take that verse and you write it down on a 3x5 card, the one that's hard for you. And you say that when you come to a place of temptation, you speak that word. You speak that word, love is not touchy. Love is not touchy. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Pays no attention to the evil done to it. Takes no account of a suffered wrong. And then he said, it will release what's in your spirit. So at that time, I did it. I absolutely did it. I thought my husband was the one who was sinning because he didn't remember my birthday, but it was really me who was noticing it all the time. Different things like that. So I was teaching on this. Down at Concord, I've taught on it a lot because it made such a difference in my own life. And it saved my marriage. It probably, although we weren't going anywhere, we never thought of divorce, but you know, it just made it a lot more pleasant. And number two, I'm sure saved my ministry. Because if you're in ministry, it's not going to be long till somebody's going to not like your ministry, you know. And if you don't notice it, it's just a whole lot easier. And so I learned not to notice it and how to walk in these things. And I was teaching on that in Concord, and Brother Wiseman slipped in the back. And then what did you think after that?
Oh, that was something. I tell you, I've laughed over that meeting so much.
That was in
much.
June of this year. Yeah.
Well, I listened to you sharing there, and you was telling how that Brother Hagin had you folks to take notes.
Yeah.
And
write that scripture on those cards.
And
yes.
And put them on the cabinets or the refrigerator or on the desktop. And
places of attack.
Well, I'm listening to you share this at that time, and how he's telling you guys to take notes and write notes. And you know, it's amazing. Sometimes you can remember someone's testimony more than you can a scripture. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
And so, but when you got to the part about the crackers and the coffee,
yeah,
you were sharing now that you had a meeting or something scheduled, and you'd fix the soup and you fixed cornbread. You didn't have crackers, and your husband came in. He said, "I wanted crackers."
Yeah.
And how you wanted to handle it your own way, but you walked over and you read your notes.
Yeah, I read that scripture. Love is not touchy, yes.
And so I'm listening to all this, and I'm sitting there in the audience, and I'm thinking, I don't ever remember a preacher telling me in the circles that I grew up in to take notes. In fact, if we were writing notes in church, they almost thought you was, they'd almost tell you to put that pencil up.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, of course, now I realize God can give you things and you need to write it down.
Yeah.
And so I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, all right, when we would go through something like that, you would go over and read your notes. Love
well,
is
I'd
not
go over, touch. They were the actual scriptures. We put the scriptures. It was the word we read that was on the card.
Okay. And you would read that.
Uh-huh.
Well, the way, the circle I grew up in, when we entered into situations like that, they told us, they'd say, go to the woods and pray through.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell us to read the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they walked in all they saw on that day.
Surely.
Okay. And they would tell us, go lock yourself in the church and pray through. And they would use that term. Whereas the word of faith people, now I'm still using that, not
sure.
to divide, but for communication
no.
purposes. They were teaching, Brother Hagin was teaching how to put the word to work,
mm-hmm.
the working of the word.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up around the workings of the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
One's the gifts of the Spirit in operation, one the word in operation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm listening to you share this, and I'm thinking, that's it, that's it. We were taught to pray through. Y'all were taught the operation of the word, and that's more of this word and spirit coming together.
Yes.
And Sister Billy, it was that day God began to speak to me. I'd been seeing this before, but it came with more of a clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure of this. You are one of those that God, without a doubt, has raised up to bring the old and the new together. And what I mean by that is we've got to have this operation of the gifts restored.
Yes, we have to.
Can you imagine how it's going to be now with people putting the word of God to work?
Yes.
And operating in the gifts of the Spirit at the same time.
It's the best. It's the absolute ultimate that God wants for us.
Yes.
And you know, Brother Wigglesworth is the one that I think about, who prophesied. Brother David Duplessy told me about it. He prophesied it more than once in more than one place. There's going to come a move of the Spirit, and then there'll be a move of the Word, and then there'll come the greatest move of all, when the Word and the Spirit come together. And that is absolutely what we are believing for and receiving right now. It's in the air. The prayers are praying for it. That's why we have this worldwide prayer, and we're not the only ones. It's everywhere, people. You talked about the pastors being hungry for a move of the Spirit of God. And I believe it's exactly true what you have just said. And we want to invite you to be back with us tomorrow. Also, go on archives. And now, we have two kinds of archives. Archives of the Wednesday's prayer, and he spoke on the Wednesday prayer, August 31st, 2011. And then we have the archives of the radio this week. We'll be looking for you to be back with us tomorrow at The Voice of One Witness. Shalom, shalom. This is Billy Brim.